17, Luke chapter 17. And with Luke chapter 17, would you pick up another verse of Scripture in your other hand? Would you pick up Luke 17 in one hand and Hebrews chapter 12 in your other hand? Luke 17 and Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to give you an illustration that you won't soon forget. Hebrews chapter 12, but let's get just a little bit of a lead into this. Hebrews chapter 12 and Luke chapter 17. I'm going to give you something that's going to seem very simple this morning, but when you think about it and understand it, it'll take us quite a while to put it into practice in a greater way. Luke 17 and Hebrews chapter 12. Notice, if you would, in Luke chapter 17, a little statement, and you can read before it and after some other time. Luke 17, look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. And the apostles, the ones that have been with Jesus now personally now for a while, 12 of them, and the apostles said unto the Lord, would you say the next three words, please? Increase our faith. One more time. Increase our faith. Brethren, would you agree that faith is one of the foundation building blocks to Christianity? Would you agree with that? If not the foundation, it is one of the foundations. If without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. So they said to the Lord, increase our faith, strengthen our faith, measure out, proportion us more, help our faith to get stronger. Lord, increase our faith. Look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 12. Stay right with me. Hebrews chapter 12. Increase our faith. Increase the foundation. Strengthen the foundation, if you would. Make it stronger, Lord, that we have a better ability to believe. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, and it says this in verse 2. Looking unto who? Say it. Jesus. Everybody say it, just so that name comes out of your mouth this morning. Looking unto who? Jesus. The author. That's the creator. That's the beginner. And finisher. He's the one who can mature it of our what? Faith. He's the one who authors our faith. He's the one who begins our faith. And he's the one to work to mature or to finish or to increase our faith. Would you make a statement? Or I'll make a statement and you agree, because it is the true statement. If we're going to grow in Christ, if we're going to mature as Christians, our faith must be increased. Let me say it again. If we're going to grow as Christians, if we're going to mature as Christians, if we're going to become, if you would, move from children to adults, if you would, in our belief, in our Christianity, our faith must continue to grow. Our faith must continue to increase. Would you agree with that statement? Now, faith can be something that's so simple and so orthodox, or it can be something that's so complex and so unorthodox, but God authors it and God matures it and God finishes it, if you would. And I believe everybody in here today, we would agree that if we're going to grow in Christ, if we're going to mature in Christ, our faith has to increase, if you would. It has to grow. It has to get stronger. And with that in mind, look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to take an angle this morning from the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter number 5. Now, for those of you still getting familiar with the Word of God, there's a very familiar scripture in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You're turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, and you're also turning to Hebrews chapter 5, but I'm going to read you a familiar scripture in Romans chapter 10. Listen very carefully. So then faith cometh by what, church? Hearing. Everybody say it again so the person next to you. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The idea is, hearing is just not in the ear. Hearing is understanding. Would you agree with that? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him understand. So faith cometh by hearing, and that hearing talks about understanding. And hearing, or understanding, by the what? The Word of God. So here's what he says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So here's what he's saying. Faith comes by understanding the Word of God. Would you agree with that? We okay with that? I haven't done damage, because he that hath ears to hear, let him what? Hear. Let him understand. Is that right? Faith cometh by understanding the Word of God. Let me say it again. Faith cometh by understanding, or hearing and understanding, the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing or understanding the Word of God. I'm saying it again because I want you to get it. And the Word of God is spoken about in such a way in 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll put it all together in an illustration in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice about the Word of God in verse 2. Verse 2. As newborn babes. Stop there for a moment. Babes what? Babes in Christ. Is that right? not as newborn babes in the flesh, like this newborn little babe in the crib, but as the newborn babes in Christ, whether it be at 13 or 20 or a newborn babe in Christ at 40 or a newborn babe in Christ at 72. Doesn't matter the age, but as a newborn babe, desire the sincere, what? Say it? Milk. And milk is food. Would you agree with that? Milk of the Word that you may do what? Grow thereby. What's going to grow by the Word of God is faith. Is that right? Stay with me now. As newborn babes, as a newborn babe, I'm supposed to desire the sincere milk. I'm supposed to desire the food of the Word that my faith may grow. Is that right? So I'm supposed to desire food in order for the faith to grow. And it's the Word that grows that faith. We still all right? Look at Hebrews chapter 5. You're doing well. Hebrews chapter 5. I'll illustrate in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 5. And here's where we get into something that's so important. Verse 14. Oh, let's go back to verse 13. Oh, let's go back to verse 12. Let's go to Genesis 1. Amen? No, stop right there. Hebrews 5. Look at verse 12. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. That's talking about the Word. And are become such as have need of what? Milk. Hey, when you have that newborn babe, what do you feed that babe with? Milk. Is that right? Mother's milk. The idea is you feed that newborn babe with milk. Why? Because that newborn babe cannot eat the steak yet, the strong meat. Can't eat the turkey yet. Can't eat the chicken yet. It would choke on it. So it says, as a newborn babe, hey, when you're first getting your faith going, desire milk. Drink that milk. But brethren, what he says is there, sooner or later, you got to go from milk to the meat. Sooner or later, you got to leave the first principles of the oracles of God and get into some of the deeper things of God, because you have the first principles all handled and your faith has grown, and now it's time to get into some strong meat. Look what he says in verse 13. For everyone that, next word, everybody say it, useth milk, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a what? Babe. But strong meat, I'm talking about the meaty doctrine, belongeth to them that are of what? Full age. They've been around long enough to grow from the milk to the meat. Even those who by reason of use, they're putting it into practice, have their senses, next word, exercised to discern both good and evil. The idea is this. We take the Word of God in and our faith grows. But sooner or later we have to use the Word of God, and that use of the Word of God brings our faith into a greater strength so we can accomplish more. Look at James chapter 2. Stay right with me. I'll illustrate in just a moment. Stay with me now. James chapter 2. And it'll all clear up with just a little demonstration. Look at James chapter 2. Everybody still alright this morning? James chapter 2. We want to go from the milk. Start with the milk. That's why we say to a newborn babe, hey, you know what? Let's be careful with that newborn babe that they don't choke on the meat. Do you know there's some controversial doctrines out there that the newborn babe just might as well stay away from for a while? Let's just get, first of all, let's get that newborn babe to know who Christ is. Let's get them secure in their belief. Let's get them in some actions, if you would. But as far as a lot of the controversial stuff, they'll get to that. There's plenty of time. We don't need to bring up our pet peeve little controversial doctrine to newborn babe. Let them grow with the milk for a while. You don't take a little newborn babe and say, come on, it's time for you, little son. I want you to be a man here tomorrow. Here, eat this big steak. Chomp on this chicken. Come on, buddy. You don't do that. That's ridiculous. But why try to force feed newborn babes when they ought to be just milking it for a while and growing it and letting that faith grow and getting a good solid footing, good solid foundation, if you would. But then they have to exercise the Word of God, if you would, in such a way that that faith doesn't die. Look at James chapter 2. Stay with me. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, say it, faith, if it has not what? Works. Action, exercise, use, is dead being alone. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, verse 20, that faith without what? Works, actions, use, if you would, exercise is dead. Verse 26, watch this. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. All right, I'm going to give you a little illustration, and you'll not forget this. And here's the illustration. We, with our little bodies that we have, our little temporary bodies down here, we eat food. Anybody here not eat food? But eating food alone is not enough. You have to take the food intake and assimilate it. You have to use it. You have to exercise the food that we put in our bodies. Is that right? Yes or no? And what is accomplished when you exercise is you get a little muscle. And the idea behind muscle is to go out and accomplish something. Now, just for a moment, I want you to think with me. I just want you to think of faith like a muscle that needs to be exercised. I'm putting in the Word of God. I'm hearing the Word of God. I'm understanding the Word of God. Oh, Lord, increase my faith. And God says, go exercise what I've already given you. Strengthen that faith, that muscle, by exercise, by reason of use, and then go accomplish something with your faith, works, and I'll give you more faith. So here's the way it works. I eat in the morning, and sometime during the day, I find a little time to exercise, and I start exercising. And I exercise, and I exercise, and I put it into practice, and I put it into use. And what is developed?
Muscles.
Muscles. You're watching to see if I follow. Muscles. So I can go out and use this body to accomplish something. Strong meat belongeth to those of 4-H, or those who by reason of, say it, use. What is the use? Exercise, exercise, exercise. And then by reason of that use, these muscles, I can go out and accomplish something with this body. Is that right? So we come to church. This is not so much exercise in here. This is table. This is, let me set a good table for you. Let me put the food out. Eat, eat, eat. Drink milk. Eat food. But wait a minute. Now go out of here. And let's get to the works part. And let's exercise. And exercise. And use it. And use it. And use it. And accomplish something. And God says, now that you've used it, I'll increase your faith. We all right with that? Here's what some people do. Feed me. Feed me. Ah, feed me. Feed me. I'll go home and think about it. And that's good. But they never put it into use. And after a while, they stop growing. Or they know a lot. And they get puffed up. I could use another word. If all we do is get knowledge, and we never exercise it, and I'm going to use this because this is so important to the message. It never turns into wisdom. And wisdom teaches us how to apply it. If all I get is food, 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 and there's no work, I puff. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? So I go back to God and I say, oh God, increase my faith. And the Lord says, what did you do with what I already gave you? Why should I put more food on the table? It's just puffing you up. Go out and use what I've given you so you can be humbled a little bit and grow thereby, and then come back and I'll give you more faith. Now let me go back and say this. Everybody understands. Faith cometh by what? Say it. Hearing. And hearing by the what? The Word of God. So faith comes by understanding the Word of God. And the food is the Word of God. The milk and the meat. The idea is this book is the food to our souls. Is that right? It is what creates, if you would, the author and finisher of our faith. And God puts the Holy Spirit in us to understand the Word of God. Is that right? So we read this Word and we hear the preaching. We study this Word and the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. But then the Holy Spirit says you have to go out and put your faith to work and get busy and do something. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? Faith without work dies. Food will kill us. Come on. Too much food will kill us if we don't work on it a bit. You're looking at me like, what are you talking about? You're saying, how can somebody get too much of the Word of God? You can't. But when you don't use it, it puffs up and puffs up and puffs up. When we exercise, then that muscle begins to develop and we'd call that muscle. Let's just call it faith. And that's how people grow and assimilate the Word of God. We're all right with that so far? Now, some of us, if you would, at times, we need to be what I'll call proactive. Look at Joshua chapter 3. Everybody still all right? Joshua chapter 3. Why am I not growing? Maybe you're not exercising. Maybe you're not acting on what you already know. Maybe. I don't know. Joshua chapter 3. I'll give you something up very practical in a moment, and nobody should get offended by this. Joshua chapter 3. Now, here we have a situation where the whole team, if you would, the whole nation is going to have to be proactive, and God, if you would, is going to cause them to exercise their faith. They're getting ready to pass over into the promised land. And look at Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, look at verse 9. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and let hear the words of the Lord your God. And hereby, Joshua said, hereby, verse 10, ye shall know that the living God is among you, that ye will, without fail, drive out. That's the accomplishment. That's the action. But they're going to need some muscle to do that. They're going to drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. Hey, that's the action that God wants. But they can't do it without muscle. They can't do it without faith. Just hearing that is not enough. Their faith needs to be built so they accomplish this work. So here's what's going to happen. Verse 11, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. He says, take 12 men of all the 12, one leader out of every 12, every tribe. And look at verse 13. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. And they shall stand upon a heap. You know what he said? I'm going to build your faith. First thing I want you to do, you're going to go in and drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Hivites, Jebusites. You're going to exercise. You're going to accomplish. But the first thing I'm going to do is build your faith. So here's what's going to happen. The ark's going to go out, and they're going to put the soles of their feet in, and those waters are going to stand up on either side at attention. Because I'm the God of all the earth. And you're going to send 12 leaders up to watch that. And then what he says next, the ark is going into the middle of the river, now dry, with those heaps on the other side, and the ark, my throne, is going to stand there. I'm going to stand in the midst of Jordan, the throne of God. Is that right? And they're going to pass by on dry waters. And can't you see, if you would, the whole nation passing by, and everybody looked at the ark. And the riverbed's dry. And the waters are standing up. They had heard about that by their forefathers. They had heard about the Red Sea. Now they were seeing it for themselves. See, you can hear about what happened in the 20s and the 30s, but we need to see it for ourselves. We need to see our River Jordan. We need to see the waters cut off in our life. We need our faith. Would you agree with that? We can learn from our forefathers. But I want to see it happen in my generation, and God's no respecter of person, and there's nothing wrong with me saying, God, I want to see it in my generation. My children can hear about what happened in my lifetime, but they need to see it for themselves. And as they came through that River Jordan, after somebody was proactive and stuck their foot in, that river departed, and it was not a small little creek. Instead of thinking about a small little creek, think about an Amazon River. Just overflowing at the banks, and those waters, millions and millions and millions of gallons of water just standing there. You say, do you really believe that? More than I believe evolution. Come on. And here all those literally millions of people walk through, and as they walk through on dry land, they see the heap. This wasn't done. This was done in the day. And there's the ark standing there and the priests. And the ark has the depiction of the throne of God on it, and they're just standing there. I wonder if anybody smiled at each other. You say, you think they walk through like this? I think they walk going, we're going to get them. 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 This is our land. The Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, that our forefathers wouldn't go up. We're going up and take the land. You know what they were doing as they were walking through? Look up here. They were exercising.
Their muscle was strengthening as they were walking through. Their faith was growing. And they were getting up their confidence that the Lord was going to do something. Yes or no? God was doing that for a purpose. He was building their confidence in God. Because they weren't going to defeat all those people. God was going to go before them, but their faith had to carry them over. God was authoring and finishing some faith and growing that muscle, but they had to do something. They had to fight the war. They had to walk around Jericho by faith, doing what they were supposed to do. And when the walls went down, they had to stretch their muscles and say, "Let's go after them, boys." They were going to accomplish something. Statement. A dead church is a church doing nothing. A dead Christian, although a Christian, is a church with no works of faith. You say, "No, wait a minute, aren't they alive?" Revelation said, "You're alive, but thou art dead." Read Revelations 2 and 3, you'll see it in there. Why? They may be getting the Word of God, look up here, and they may know the Word of God, and just ask them, they'll tell you what they know. But then ask them what they're doing. All right, let me make a small statement. I believe everybody in here, probably less than 5% of you, don't know this. 95% of you know that a portion of your income is to go to the work of the Lord. This is not about giving. I'm just using this as an illustration. 95% of you know that a portion of your income that God gives you as Christians is supposed to go to the work of the Lord. He didn't put a dollar number on it. He put a percentage on it. So you know that. I know it. Now, here's the question. Are we going to do it? Does months go by and we put nothing in? And then we go back and say, "Increase my faith," and God says, "Let's go back to the milk. Strong meat belongs to those who are of old age or by reason of use have their spirits exercised. And you're not exercising what you know. Let's go back to the first principles again of the oracles of God. And let's go back to the percentage that's supposed to be mine. Whether you believe in it or not, you're supposed to trust me." Now, why did it get quiet? You were amening me just a while ago. Here's what happens with most of us in our physical fitness, including me. It goes in cycles. And the older you get, the farther in between the cycle is. Now, you young bucks that are 20 and 25 and go, "Oh, yeah, I'll exercise all my life." Talk to me when you're 50. See me when you're 50. We'll take before and after pictures, big boy. Because the older you get, the more cycle it becomes. You may go for a couple months and stay with it and then go, "I'm tired of this. This is old, man. I don't need to be doing this anymore." Come on, is that right? You know what I'm talking about. Or the cycle might be out of every 12 months, we give it about 2 weeks, you know. And I'm not downing you. I'm just saying as you get older, it's like, "Hey, you know what? I'm going home to go to bed. It's not worth working this flesh up. It's not going to stay up anyways. What's the difference?" Amen. But as the outward man perishes, the inward man gets strengthened. But if we're not exercising the first principles of the oracle of God, filthy lucre, something that he says is least, that's the test. Why should he increase our faith and give us more responsibility? He can't even trust us with mammon. We all right with that? I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to help you. If we can't even exercise that, don't go out and discourage and say, "I'm not going to ever get anything more from God." Stop for a moment. Just say, "Lord, I'm sorry for insulting you. That I didn't even give you a percentage of what you've given me." And please look up here. Somebody says, "Well, I don't believe in this," or "I don't believe in that," "I don't believe in this." There's nobody in here that reads the Word of God that can say that God doesn't require the first fruits. If they're still at that point that they say, "No, no way," they haven't studied their Word at all, or they don't want to know the truth. And I would agree with that statement. They're spitting up the milk. But after a while, we've drank milk and we're into strong meat. But please look up here. Even after you're into strong meat, sometimes the first principles go out the window. We stop giving. And we stop growing. And we stop, if you would, having muscles. And we stop accomplishing. Our soul winning. We go to a door and it seems like a brass door. Why? Something's wrong with our faith and our works. We're out soul winning, but something else in our life is doubled. Something's not right. Are we all right with that? You say, what do you mean a brass door? Slam. I ain't got nowhere that way. I got nowhere with that one. I got nowhere with that one. I got nowhere with that. I've been out 6 months getting nowhere. And God says, let's go back to the first principle. Let's go back to what's secret between you and me. I'm just using it as an example. Because God wants us to accomplish things. God's not withholding faith from anybody. Hey, why would God hold something back that pleases Him? As a father, I'm going to teach my children all I can on what pleases me to see them do. Is that right? I want to see them accomplish something. I want to see them be something. I want to see them have some character. I'm going to do all I can to put that into them because it pleases me to see that in them. Our Heavenly Father looks down at us and says, I'm not withholding back anything from you. I'm not going to hold back anything that pleases me. I want you to please me. I want to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to give you reward. What father wouldn't want to reward his children? And so I want to give you all that, but I got to follow my principles. If you don't work, assimilate, exercise, that faith will die. I can't increase your faith. I can't offer more because you're not using what I've given you. Now don't go out of here discouraged. Just say, okay, I got to understand something. I got to exercise this muscle. I got to exercise this faith. What happened here with Joshua? They were standing in the river, walking by, if you would, on dry ground, going, wow, look at what God's doing. Isn't this wonderful? We can take the Hivites, and we can take the Jebusites, and we can go get Caleb's mountain for him. Now, it's hard to preach this without getting excited. So what do? Stay with me a little bit further. Verse chapter 4, stay with me, I'm watching your time, you don't have to. I got 15 more minutes, come on now. Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You say, now wait a minute, didn't put on a time on it. Give me more than 15 minutes, all right? Look if you would at Joshua chapter 4, and look what it says, Joshua 4. And notice verse number 9. The Bible says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood. They are there unto this day, for the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was what? Say it. Finished. That the Lord commanded. What did He command? Put the stones up as an altar and have everybody pass over, and they stood there till it was all finished. And the people were passing by until they were clean passed over in verse 11. The ark stood there. What was that doing? Building their faith in a proactive way. Let me talk to you just a minute, church, about building our faith in a reactive way. Look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Stay with me. Everybody still all right? Stay with me. Come on. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I'll guarantee you somebody got offended because I talked about money and he thought, oh, he's just a money grabber. You get on the right side of the Word of God and you won't have a problem with anybody talking about money. Come on. That's true. That's milk. That's just milk stuff. That's just newborn babe stuff. By the way, if your newborn baby doesn't know what all that means, hey, we'll teach you. Give your money somewhere to the work of God, amen? Why? So God will give you more faith. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And with 1 Peter chapter 1, would you pick up 2 Kings chapter 4? 2 Kings chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 1. We still all right? Come on. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2 Kings chapter 4. I'll say it one more time. I'm all pumped up now. I'm ready to go work out, amen? 1 Peter chapter 1. And 2 Kings chapter 4. Come on, let's finish this thing right. Now watch. Proactive was, hey, we're going across the river in the promised land. They were ready to go. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Here's a little reactive. Look at verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. If it's needed. Ye are in what? Say it. heaviness through manifold what? Temptations. What's a temptation? A trial, a proving, a testing. And by the way, every once in a while God says, Doug, you need to go through a testing, a proving, a trial of heaviness. I need to build your faith, not in a proactive way, but in a reactive way. Proactive is this. When they crossed the river, they weren't in a trial of faith. They were just obeying God's word. They were just obeying God's will. Is that right? They were proactively going forward. Sometimes it's like, whoa, what's just come upon me? And God says, you better pump it out. You better get ready. Because the trial's coming. Look what he says. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your what? Say it. Faith. Being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Though it, the trial, the faith, be tried with fire. What's going to be tried with fire? Our faith. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of... So the idea is this. Our faith is going to be tried sometimes when we least expect it. In a way we don't expect, it's going to bring some heaviness, but that faith needs to be tried because what he's doing is actually increasing our faith. 2 Kings 4, illustration, so you understand. I think you're doing well. 2 Kings 4, here's an illustration of something that this woman did not know was going to come upon her, but it's going to try her faith. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried, know the word there, 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a cry going up there from a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet. This woman evidently lived with one of the sons of the prophets, watched God work, but now she was in a great strait, she was in a great trial, she was in great heaviness. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Notice what he said to Elisha. Thy servant, hey Elisha, one of the men who served you, who served Elijah, one of your servants, that was my husband, is dead. Is that what it's saying? And thou knowest that thy servant, my husband, did fear the Lord. You know my husband. You know he served in the company of the prophets. You know he was one of the sons of the prophets. You know he served in that company. And you know he feared the Lord. And now the creditor has come to take unto him. And by the way, when you got behind on your payments in those days, you know what they repossessed? Your children. And they said, you can't pay? I'll take your two boys with me and they will pay off the debt. Now, they weren't going to like take ownership, but those boys were going to go work off their father's debt. It was more serious in those days. Don't you think the sons were saying, Dad, whatever you do, don't go too far in debt, all right? So they said, hey, my two sons to be bondmen. What's that bondman? They are going to be in slavery and work off that debt. Verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Well, she didn't know. Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? In the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. The trial is already there. Then he said what? Say it. No. Everybody say it. Then he said what? You know what he's telling her to do? Look up here. Exercise it. Put it into practice. Go do what I tell you and let's see what happens. Is that right? It's an active word, but she's reacting now. She's already come and said, oh, I'm in a great trial. I don't know what to do here. And Elisha comes and says, go. Exercise. Do what I tell you to do. Put faith and put it into practice and act upon what I'm going to tell you to do. Works are what put faith into action. Go, borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels that shall set aside that which is full. You know what I don't see her doing? Questioning anything. She was in such a great strait looking for any answer. When he said go, she said, go boys, go, get to work. Exercise it. Go borrow vessels. It's either that or go work for the creditor. Go do what he says. We've seen Elijah's power before. We've seen God working through Elijah before. We believe in Elijah. Let's just do what he says. So they go. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. She was getting with it now. She was into it now. Hey, another vessel, bring me another one. You say, what was going on? Please look up here. Watch now. Don't miss this, please. Because she exercised what the prophet said to do, she started realizing what was going on. Don't you think after she started filling those vessels, she started figuring out this oil isn't running out? This oil is worth money. I can kind of see what's going to happen. Bring me more, boys, bring me more. Sometimes we look at the trial and we say, I don't see how we can get out of this one. And God says, exercise. Keep going. Don't stop. Do what I say. Don't give up. I'm building your faith. You're about to believe me like you've never believed me before. You said, increase my faith, Doug. All right. Sometimes it's proactive, but sometimes it's reactive. Are you with me? Sometimes God brings things upon us where we go, I don't know what I'm doing here, but all I know is to do what I'm doing. I'm doing it, Lord. I'm doing it, Lord. I'm doing it, Lord. Please, Lord, help me, Lord. And God said, keep going. You're getting muscles that you don't even know you have. Because I'm getting you ready for something out in the future that you don't even know is coming. And you're going to need so much greater faith to accomplish what I have for you. Come on, is that right? Now look up here. What happens when everybody exercises together? There's a team faith. You know what we got last week? Exercise. As a church, as a team. Our faith began to grow and build. Why? We're getting ready for a missions conference. Come on. It happens in families. It happens in marriages. It happens in friendship. Hey! I want to be part of a unit that's exercising, that's growing, that's accomplishing, that's doing something. We're not going to have a dead church. We may fail once in a while, and we may not accomplish it all once in a while, but it's not because we haven't tried. It's not because we didn't go and do. Some churches just talk about what they're going to do. Some Christians just talk about what they're going to do or what they used to do. Hey, you know what? I used to go to the gym. I know it doesn't look like it used to, but I used to go to the gym. I used to exercise my faith. Let me tell you something. After a while, when you're exercising your faith and your faith is growing, you know what you don't do? You don't show everybody your muscles. You don't want anybody to see it. You just want to be able to go and do and get the job done. As long as God sees it, that's all that matters. It's the newborn babes that say, look at that. And God says, yeah, watch this. Come on, is that right? You need a little humility. You need your bicep to turn into a sagging tricep or whatever that is, amen? And God can do it just like that. Go ahead, work it up, boy. Show it off all you want. Now, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to just take you down because that's not what you do when you build your faith. You don't go around showing everybody. Showing off. So what happens? Stay with me. The Bible says this. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, verse 6, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is none vessel more. And the oil stayed. It stopped. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, what? Go, exercise, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the what? Rest. What a great retirement plan. What did she have when she started? You know what she had? She had a husband that used to serve God. She had heritage. She had a retirement plan. She just didn't know it. because she served alongside of him too. She didn't know it, but she was taken care of the rest of her life. Why? The labor is worthy of their hire. And when God looked at that servant, he saw them as one. Come on, is that right? He saw that wife and that servant as one. God decided to take the servant home, left the wife with the two boys. What was he doing? He was building up the faith of two sons. Yes or no? Can't you see that woman saying, go get the vessels, boys. And they're coming back, and she's still pouring. You don't think that's building their faith?
Yeah.
Because they could not go on their father's faith. They had to go on their own faith. So God set it all up to get another generation of prophets ready to go. Mama, we don't have any more vessels. And the oil stopped. What do we do now? Don't do anything, boys. I'll be right back. Just stay right here. I wonder if she said, and don't let anybody come in and steal our oil. I don't know, didn't say that. But off she goes, and the man of God says, now, go take the oil and sell it. And pay your debt. And live off the rest. I could go so much more into this. We'll go on one more. Judges 6. We all right? Last one. Judges 6. It is 12:18. You don't have to look at your watch. Judges chapter 6. We'll be done in 5 minutes. Unless you quiet down, then we're going to go longer. Amen. Judges chapter 6. Come on, Judges chapter 6. That'll stir some up. Amen. I said, how do you keep that spirit? I threaten them with half an hour and 45 minutes and hour-long extra preachings. Amen. We hear them saying amen a lot. That's because I say if they don't say amen, we're going a long time. Judges chapter 6. Now don't miss this. There's proactive, like we're crossing the River Jordan. We're not in a great stress. We're just crossing the River Jordan because we're supposed to. There's reactive. We're in this great duress. And then I'll make this little statement. There's a combination of both. Sometimes we're going to something, but we're heading right into a trial.
Right. Yes.
Let me say it again. It's God's will, but I can see I'm going right into a storm. It's not hidden. There's the storm, and I'm going right into this thing because God's saying go right that way, and there's a huge storm. He didn't say go around it. He didn't go say over it. He just said head on into it. I'll take care of you in the middle of it. Come on. Sometimes it's like, where did this storm come from? Sometimes there's no storm in the way. We're just going right on through. And sometimes it's like, do you want me to go through that? I don't know what's in there, but it doesn't look good. I already know it's not good inside there, but that's God's will. I don't have a choice. I can't turn around. I can't go back. There's no way around it. I got to go through that thing. Here we go. You say, who's that? Gideon. Where did it start? Look at chapter 6. You're doing well. The children of Israel did evil. So they were delivered in the hand of the Midianites 7 years. And watch verse 3. And it was so when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east. So here are all these enemies. Look at verse 4. And they, all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou, coming to Gaza, left no substance of Israel. I mean, they wiped it out. It was like the old march where they salted everything. Verse 5. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as what? Grasshoppers for a multitude. I mean, it was a swarm out there, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. Now, brethren, please look up here. Gideon looks out and he knows how many there are out there. And God says, thou mighty man of valor. You know what Gideon's supposed to do? Head right into that storm in God's will. And it's not going to be fun. You know what he needs? Faith. He needs a lot of faith. So the Bible says this, and I like this little thing. Look, if you would, at Joshua chapter 7. I'm sorry, Judges, next chapter. Judges chapter 7. Now watch this little thing, and read it sometime. He's heading right into the storm. He's heading right into the mess. He knows it's going to be a challenge inside there, and he needs some faith. And look at Judges chapter 7. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too what? Too many. You got too many with you, Moses, or too many with you, Gideon, for me to give to the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves, lift themselves up against me, say, mine own hand has saved. He said, Gideon, how many you got there? And he had 1,000. He said, you got too many. You know what Gideon's doing about then? Oh man, I got too many. Oh man, I got too many. What am I going to do now? He's exercising, he doesn't even know it. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people. And look at verse 3. And the return of the people, 22,000. And the remain, how many say it? 10,000. Now he's got 10,000 against all those multitudes of grasshoppers out there. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Can't you see Gideon thinking, Lord, there's 10,000 of us and zillions of them. And Gideon is told by God, you still got too many. What's he doing? Building his faith. And building the faith of Israel. The team. We still all right?
Yeah.
So you know the story. They come back again, and they come down to where they get how many? Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. 300. 300 against the multitude. And he goes down in verse 9 and 10 and says, hey Gideon, if you still fear, which Gideon did, what's going on, brother? He's now exercising. What is that? You're going into the storm, Gideon. You're going to face this, Gideon. But you're not going in with as much as you want. You're going in with me and 300, and that's it. And it's going to be a mess inside there. But just trust me, Gideon. What weapons do we get? You get a pitcher. You get a candle. You get a trumpet. Issue the weapons. Give all those 300 men, give them each a pitcher. Give them a candle. Give them a trumpet. What are we going to do with that? You're going out with your candle lit with the pitcher over the top of it so they can't see it. So the candle is hidden by the pitcher and you're walking up and dividing up into three companies and you're going to surround them. 100 of you on every side. And you're going to get up there and at the right signal, everybody's going to break their pitcher and blow their trumpets and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And I'll take it from there, boys. All right, you 300. The mission order is this. We're again going against the whole host. You're going to get a pitcher, a candle, and a trumpet. No questions, please. I have no answers. We're just doing what I'm told, all right? You have not the need to know. I didn't choose you. You didn't volunteer. You're it, all right? Don't drink that way again. Everything will be fine. Just kidding. He didn't say any of that. He went up with full confidence. Because when he went down to that host and heard the sword of the Lord in Gideon, he came back and says, rise! We're ready to go. You know what? Look up here. He came back. You read it, somebody. He came back with enough of this that he came back with faith muscles saying, all right, it's going to work. Rise up. It's going to work. There was no lack of confidence. There was no questioning. You can't read anything into it that when those men went out there, they fully believed what Gideon was telling them. 100 on that side, 100 on that side, 100 on that side. A trumpet blew. They all break the pictures, held up their lamps, blew their trumpets, and shouted, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and God began to take over. What was that? Exercising faith that turned into strong meat. I'll guarantee you, the rest of Gideon's generation, they believed. The rest of the time Gideon was alive, he believed. Oh, he messed up at the end. Read the story. He got a little proud about the whole thing. Made a little ephod that he shouldn't have made. That's a whole nother message. But he did exercise faith. What are we doing with our faith? If you're in here today and you've never accepted Christ as Savior, what are you waiting on? Jesus Christ, look up here. I didn't say close your Bibles and put on your shoes, ladies. Come on now. You men, please put your shoes on. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, you're at the threshold of life. You haven't even entered into life yet if you're not saved. You don't even know what life is all about. I say that because I was on the other side of life for a long time. We did not enter into life until we got saved. Come on, is that right? What do you mean? We weren't even alive. Our minds weren't even regenerated until we got saved. We couldn't even understand the Word of God. The author of our faith is when Jesus Christ puts the Holy Spirit in us because we repented and believed that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and asked Him forgiveness for breaking His law. Then He puts the Holy Spirit in it and our faith is authored. And we start to understand. But He says, now I want to finish it. We're not done yet. There's more to salvation than just being saved. Now I got something for you to do. It's not just salvation and heaven. It's salvation and then accomplishing and doing and growing and muscle and action and all this. And at the end, looking back and saying, what an abundant life. Let's go on to heaven. And you get up there, you say, what do you get? Well done, thou good and what?
Faithful.
What?
Faithful.
What? Say it again.
Faithful.
And who made us faithful? God did. In a roundabout way, He's saying, I know who worked in you. I worked in you. You're created unto good works through my workmanship. Ephesians 2. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we'll get up there and realize all we did was follow God. And He made us look good. But there were some actions along the way. But it wasn't our faith, it was His faith in it. But we were required to do something with it. You know what's good? Being around people that are not just hearing, but that are doing. Come back tonight, we'll give you some reports. Tell you what's going on. Build your faith. Hear about the doings. We'll not broadcast it this morning. We'll take care of it tonight when all the church family's here. A lot of them are out working right now in various ministries. They'll all come back tonight and we'll tell you all the church family about our doings. Not to go out and broadcast to anybody else, just for our own family. We're not out to try to tell everybody else what we're doing. Did you get the message?
Yes, sir.
You say, what do you want me to remember? This. I better do something about it. I better do what I know. I better read my Bible. I better give. I better get that Word of God out. The doing. Okay, now preacher, what if I'm not saved yet? The doing. The receiving. The confessing with their mouth. The believing in your heart. You say, where could I do that? You could do right where you sit, but if you want, we'll take a Bible and help you and show you. Help you to do and enter into life. Statement. I'm done with this. Some of the most miserable people on the face of this earth. Some, not all. Some of the most miserable people on the face of this earth are those that know the Word of God and are doing nothing. It gnaws on them and eats on them. What will happen to them at the judgment seat? The Bible says they will suffer loss. Let's not be miserable. Let's stay around those who are doing. Let's exercise and watch what God does. You say, I'm not very strong. Look at Gideon. Thou mighty man of valor. You talking to me? I'm the least in my father's house. I'm not no mighty man of valor. Hey, if this was all going great and God was in this thing, why are they out there and we're hiding weed away? I don't see God in this whole thing. That's how he started. But when he was done, victorious. With our heads bowed, don't leave, and our eyes closed. If you're in here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, please, please, courtesy to everybody in here. Your soul's hanging in the balance right now. Doesn't have to. God can author that faith in you and you could receive Christ as your Savior and walk out of here a saved, born-again person.
If that's you in here today, would you do me? I'd count it a privilege to allow me to pray for you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, I don't know about my salvation, but I would like somebody to pray. I don't think that would hurt at all. Would you do this if that's you? I would like to know. Just with our heads bowed and eyes closed privately, would you just slip out your hand so I could see it? No tricks or gimmicks right now. I'm not sure of my salvation. Pray for me, Pastor. Just hold up your hand right now so I can see it. Good. Thank you, sir. Someone else. Thank you. Someone else. Father, please draw these to yourself. Christian, it's now time to exercise an altar call. Feet, the doing, the thanking, the praising, the decision, the action in our hearts and our minds. Lord, I'm sorry. I got to get back to this. Lord, I want to apologize. I'm repenting. I need to get back to this, to the doing. Lord, I want to do more. I've been doing this, but please help me do more. I'm not justifying myself. I'm just happy to do what I can do. Please increase my faith. But I know, Lord, when I say increase my faith, you're going to ask me to work and do with the faith that you give me. And that may mean proactive, and that may mean reactive, or that may mean heading into the storm. Our instruments are going to play. If you'd like to bring your family to an altar, bring yourself to an altar. If you raise your hand for salvation, you'd like to come. If you'd like to use the pew where you're at, if you'd like to come, whatever you'd like to do this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit will work His own works.